This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Health and wellness on Joy Drive.
Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris joins us fortnightly. Dr. Evangeline, welcome back to Joy Drive.
Hello. Glad to be back on for 23.
And yes. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy New Year and New Year's resolutions. We all make one, don't we?
Absolutely. It is, you know, we're coming to almost the end of the first month of the year, which is absolutely insane to think about. But It is the first time we're talking to you. So if we have made some New Year's resolutions that potentially relate to our diet and our nutrition, what are some common ones that you see people making?
Yeah, well, the ones that people mostly do is do detox diets. And that's because they want to remove the toxins. And if I was there and you could see me, I'd do the little asterisks to say, you know, toxins from their body. And there's so many different detox diets out there. There's things from people drinking warm lemon water in the morning, doing juice detox, lemon maple tea detox, you know, cabbage soup detox, all sorts of things. But the big problem with these is they offer very little nutrition and they don't actually detoxify your body.
And Evangeline, they sound like if I was just having cabbage soup every day, I mean, it sounds really boring.
It does, doesn't it? That's right. And we all know we've got to enjoy our lives, right, and enjoy the food we eat. So, yeah, they are boring. They don't provide a lot of flavour. It sort of socially isolates you as well because you can't really go and order cabbage soup at every restaurant you go to. But the big concern is they don't actually detoxify. And really, if you really need a detox, you actually need a liver transplant.
Oh.
Because it's the liver in your body that actually detoxifies everything that goes through. So, you know, evolution has sorted it all out for us and given us a liver to deal with these things.
So if we do want to, so the best way therefore, rather than drinking cabbage soup or you know, drinking a particular tea to detox, the best way to do it is just to make sure our liver is working properly and in optimal health.
Absolutely, yeah. And that's an interesting thing, because the thing that affects our liver the most is probably alcohol. So, you know, if we wanted to say, well, what would a detox diet be? It would be one that you limited the amount of alcohol that you drank and you ate a really well, healthy, balanced diet.
Dr. Evangeline, you know, you've just mentioned that none of these online or, you know, whatever detoxes actually detoxify our bodies. Why then are there so many and why are people making these claims?
I think it's the money.
Right. So,
can I be so bold to say that?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, so often it's, you know, you need to buy this D or you need to buy this special syrup or you need to buy these powders. And so a lot of money is generated from this. And, you know, good eating isn't actually expensive. I mean, I know food prices are pretty pricey at the moment, as are fruit and vegetables, but these other products are way more pricey, don't offer any nutrition. And we can't even be certain that what's in there is what they claim to be in there. So there are lots and lots of problems with them. And then they're also pushed by, you know, social media personalities, you know, wellness, you know, people, and they get paid to promote these. So every time they put up a post about a particular product, they actually get paid by that company to do so. So they're not doing it because they've discovered something new and amazing and wonderful and want to help the world. It's actually creating a, you know, money stream for them.
Dr. Evangeline, how does the liver actually detoxify?
Yeah, well, this is interesting. So the liver is quite a big organ and it's got lots of different types of cells in it and it can do lots of different things. So one thing is it also has an immune function, so it can pick up on infections that your body has and it helps the body to deal with them and get rid of the, you know, any bacteria that are there or any viruses. The other things that the liver does is actually make nutrients from the food that you've processed. So it does really important things. But then the other thing it does is get rid of the drugs and the toxins. And these cells, all the different cells in there, some of them have special what we call enzymes in them. And what they do is process these drugs and toxins really, really quickly so they get out of your body and they don't cause any harm to your body. And when it does, so let's pick alcohol because, you know, most people are having some alcohol. When the liver picks up this alcohol in the body, it will stop doing all the other processes. It will stop, you know, processing the nutrients so that it can get rid of the alcohol because the alcohol is very toxic in the body.
Wow. We're chatting to Program Director and Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences at the University of South Australia, Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, about New Year's resolutions and diets. And we were just speaking about the liver, Dr. Evangeline. So what you've just said is basically the liver drops all of its other functions when it's trying to process something bad, like, for example, alcohol. That's wild.
Yeah. And those enzymes that they use, that the liver uses, are actually made from protein. Now, if we go back to what most detox diets have, they don't have a lot in them, and they certainly don't have any protein in them. So if you do go on a detox for a week and you just drink fruit juices, for example, there's no protein in the fruit juice. And so what happens is your body has to get the protein from another place to make these enzymes that your liver needs. And potentially there's a little bit of protein going around in your blood. But if there isn't enough there, the next place for your body to get protein is from your muscles. And the last thing most people want when they're going on a detox is actually to decrease their muscle mass as well. So it is quite risky because you're meant to be detoxing, but you're actually, you know, getting rid of all the nutrients in your diet that actually helps your liver to function. Just, so it's actually counterintuitive.
I was just going to say, just the fact of thinking that we might lose muscle mass just made me think I'm never touching a detox diet ever.
That's right.
Ever
well
again,
done.
is there a way you can detox? I mean, we obviously you know, not drinking too much alcohol and protecting the liver, but is there, if you do want to say, you know, I'm actively detoxing at the moment, is there something that we can do?
Yeah, so I guess if we think about what do people mean by they want to detox, is they want to get healthy, right? And I'm going to go back on again about all the things I've always talked about. And the best way to get healthy is to eat a healthy diet. So as we said, trying to minimize alcohol as much as possible and then limiting the intake of those processed and ultra-processed foods. And they're the ones that contain excessive, you know, sugars in them, they contain salt, and they also contain saturated fat, and often not a lot of those other nutrients that we need. So we keep coming back to this thing again. You just need to eat healthy food and avoid the alcohol, and that's the best way of keeping your body as healthy as possible, or if you like, you know, being in a clean state. I don't like using that word, but, you know, detoxifying your body.
Dr. Evangeline, we've just had a message in from James who says, I use betamine, which has thiamine, a B vitamin, to help his liver.
Yeah.
Is that worth doing, is his question.
No. Unless you've been diagnosed by going to a doctor and they've done a blood test to show that your level of thiamine is low, you don't need extra in your diet. In fact, for people that are eating, you know, breads and things that are made from flour in Australia, it's supplemented with thiamine automatically. So one of the big risks was thiamine deficiency. So what the Australian government did through the Food Standards Australia and New Zealand was had mandatory fortification of thiamine in all our flours. So we get it through our diet anyway. We get it through the supplemented form, and we also get it through all the breads and cereals that we eat. So unless you've actually been told by a doctor from a blood test you've got low levels, you don't need to take any of those supplements.
So essentially helping your liver is a case of actually just helping your liver by not, you know, inundating it with bad stuff.
Exactly. Absolutely.
So these vitamins, for example, are not going to counteract bad stuff.
No. Yeah. And we're getting enough of it in our diet. Most of us now are getting enough, especially because of the fortification in flour in Australia.
We're chatting to Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and Practicing Dietitian at the University of South Australia, Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, about New Year's resolutions and diets.
Dr. Evangeline, I've been doing maybe 3 days a week, you know, the intermittent fasting. So is that short-term sort of diet still okay?
Yeah, so that's sort of a bit like detox if you think about it. And when we have those shorter periods of where we do go on fasting, people either do the 5 and 2 where they have minimal amounts of kilojoules on that day, or they try to eat, you know, only in 6 hours of the day, that does give us health benefits. So what we see is better blood glucose responses and also sometimes lowered blood lipids. but mainly the blood glucose response and also insulin. And we also do see that the weight control is as good as dieting all the time. But that's a relatively short period of fasting, so that's not problematic. It's that, you know, once you go over 2 or 3 days, that's when it becomes problematic that you're depleting your nutrients. And that's assuming your base diet is good if you do that. If your base diet is poor and you eat all ultra-processed foods and you do fasting and or you do detox, you're virtually getting none of those good nutrients into your body.
So we should, if we're talking about New Year's resolutions, what we should do really is rather than saying, you know what, I'm going to detox once a month or something, we should just make it a broad sustainable change and say, you know what, we're going to eat healthy from now on.
That's right, yep. And, you know, those other foods, those, you know, sometimes foods or discretionary foods will still creep in for celebrations, for, you know, things that happen. And that's not an issue. It's what you do the majority of the time that counts. So, you know, if you have a chocolate bar once a week, that's great. Enjoy it. Have it. If you have a glass of wine with a cheese board, you know, once or twice a week, that's fine. Enjoy it. But if you're doing this all the time, that's when the problem begins.
Dr. Evangeline, what would be your overall tip if, you know, obviously we know now not to do detox stuff, but if we were thinking this year is the year that I'm going to become a little bit more healthy and, you know, conscious of my diet and nutrition choices, I feel like it can be really kind of intimidating because it's like, okay, I need to change my entire life. You know, is there a way that we can make it a little less intimidating? Like, I'm thinking about it right now and I'm like, I know Dr. Evangeline would absolutely be so angry at me with my diet, you know?
I wouldn't be angry.
You'd just be disappointed. But yeah, like, how do we make it more manageable? How do we make it bite-sized?
Yeah.
Pun intended.
That's a good thing that you've said, bite-sized. So to make behavioural changes, whether it's about improving your diet or improving your exercise or improving your sleep, you need to do things that you know you can achieve. So right now, if someone was to say to me, well, I have, let's take the worst, you know, possible scenario, I have food from, you know, those fast food companies, you know, for lunch and dinner every day of the week, for me to then say to them, well, drop it, you know, just stop having it would be really unrealistic for them and they wouldn't be able to manage it. So you start slowly and you go, okay, what do you think you can manage? What if we say one day a week you don't eat food from those places? And they go, yeah, I reckon I can do it. So it's something that's a small change. They can measure it, so they've got something to measure it, like one day a week I'm not going in there. Mm-hmm. They can achieve it and you can set a time to it and say, well, by the end of the month, once a week, every week, I won't be going to those places. Okay, so but that's a massive change. Let's make it something more realistic. So someone might go, oh, look, I think I eat too much of those ultra-processed foods. You know, I eat chips and I have chocolate bars every day. One of the easy changes to go, okay, for one of those snacks every day, let's say they have two, I'm going to change one of them for fruit. And I'm going to pick a fruit that I really like because, you know, if I pick apples, and I love apples, but, you know, they're probably a fruit that people get, you know, less, oh, well, you know, beautiful taste, and say, okay, I'm going to have strawberries instead of that and I'm going to do that, you know, for every day of the week for one of my snacks. That's something that's achievable. It's something that they like that they're swapping to. It's a small change and they can measure it and they put a timestamp to it. Mm-hmm. So pick something that you go, yep, I've identified that. I'm going to make a change. Think about what change you can actually achieve because once you've made that change, you get, you know, really excited and motivated that you've been successful in that one little change. Then you go, okay, next month I'm going to drop those, you know, snacks I'm having to just once a week. And you go, okay, so I'll have fruit every day of the week, but once a week I'll enjoy my favourite chocolate bar.
Yeah.
I'm setting myself a challenge because our executive producer, Con, got me onto a particular ice cream and it was on special. I bought two tubs and I've had it 3 nights in a row and I've decided, you know, and I don't normally eat sugar.
I like that you're trying to blame this on Con. Con's here right now, Evangeline, shaking his head furiously at this conversation.
I'm going to say once a week I can have it and let's see if we can stick to that. I like that. Okay. Sustainable change.
Yep. So for you to have it once a week, Warren, you probably shouldn't buy two tubs a week.
No. Right? That's not Con's fault.
He told me it was a yummy flavour.
Yeah, well, that's not Con's fault. I'm with you, Em.
Dr. Evangeline, as always, so informative. So thank you so much for joining us on Joy Drive.
My pleasure. Have a good fortnight. Bye, guys.
Bye. That's Dr. Evangeline Mantzioris, Program Director of Nutrition and Food Sciences and a practicing dietitian at the University of South Australia.
The best bits of Joy Drive with Em and Warren. No matter where you are, you can always take Em and Warren with you.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.